हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Nice. So Mahabharata, the Bhagavad Gita. So continuing the discussion between Krishna and Arjuna. Krishna told Arjuna that the knowledge he was speaking was ancient. He had first told it to the sun god millions of years ago. Hearing this, Arjuna asked, "How can I accept this, Krishna? It appears that you were born in this world only recently." Krishna replied, "Both of us have had countless births, O Arjuna. I can remember all of them, but you cannot. Actually, I am never born like ordinary men. My body is transcendental and neither changes nor deteriorates. Still, I appear to take birth in every age. I only come to establish religion and to curb irreligion. Parta, in this way I deliver the pious and annihilate the demons. One who understands this truth about me will not have to take another material body." Right? When you understand God's transcendental form and how when he appears, he just appears. You know, he may have some interesting way he appears to create that attraction for, by the devotees to him and to make it, you know, unique and fun. But the point is that if you understand he's transcendental and he doesn't actually take birth and die, then you can come to that same transcendental platform. He's of course, see, the transcendental platform is one platform, but at it, Krishna is the source of it, and we take part in it. We exist in it, just like God is there, and then his energies expand. So the energies are sitting on him or are based on him. So in that way, as he exists, they exist. As he is eternal, they are eternal. As he is, the personification of bliss, then his energies also experience bliss. But it's all in the connection with him. So when you see that aspect, that everything's resting on him and is based on him, and he's this cause of, then you don't take birth in this world again. As you accept him to be transcendental, you can become transcendental. But you have to understand it's in connection with him. If you try to be spiritual without him, then the problem is you can get out of the material world, but you won't get in the spiritual world. And so then that kind of temporary, that kind of spiritual platform is temporary. Those who take refuge in me will be free from attachment, fear, and anger, and will attain pure transcendental love for me. According to their faith in me, I reciprocate with all men, O Arjuna, anyone can attain me. Because all souls are coming from him, so all souls can go back to him. So one can say, no, but somebody's done so much nonsense they can never get back. But the point is as we're not the body, the soul, by identifying with the body, that's already wrong. So even if they're doing nice acts, it's still not spiritual. And if you do wrong acts, it's definitely not spiritual. So the point is when the living entity, so they just go through this cycle of birth and death. They become pious, so they go up. And because when they get to the top of piety, generally one gets proud. And then when one gets proud, one develops bad qualities, one goes down. All souls are going around like that. So to say, oh, he's so bad, he could never attain God. It just means he's at the bottom right now. But it's just a matter of time before he starts up. Because when you get so bad, it gets so disturbing that you start to become humble. And therefore, then you start to become pious. And as you become more and more pious, then without being God conscious, then you tend to become proud. So then you perform bad activity, then you, with pride, you'll go down. So there's no living entity in the universe that isn't in this cycle. And wherever they are now, that's just what's going on now. If you have millions and millions of births, then you're just going around in this cycle. So that's Krishna's point. Anyone can attain me. Because as you surrender to him, he reciprocates. You know, as you deal with him, he'll reciprocate. You just approach him for material benefits, he'll reciprocate with you on that if you're acting in a way that's appropriate. But if you approach him for spiritual, you'll get that. You approach him for the transcendental platform and devotion, you'll get that. Krishna explained that he also arranges for the fulfillment of men's material desires. He was prepared to give everyone whatever they wanted, whether it be sense enjoyment or love of God. He had no vested interest in the material world and simply acted in reciprocation with men's desires, according to what they deserve. Krishna himself was always transcendental to the material world. Knowing this, all the liberated souls in the past had attained perfection. They acted only for Krishna's pleasure. Such work was without reaction, as he was the supreme transcendence. But those who renounced work, if their renunciation was not done for his pleasure, were still subject to reaction. Because even if you give up the attachment to the work, you're still doing it for yourself. There's going to be a reaction. So it's only when you do it in connection with the Lord, Lord being transcendental, therefore, the resultant action is transcendental. It gives you no bad result. Anything done on one's own account, whether motivated by attachment or repulsion, carried a karmic reaction. Right? Means you may get liberation. That may be the karmic reaction. But the point is since it's actually not connected with the absolute truth, it can't actually be a eternal position. Maybe a long position, but it's not eternal. Just like the ants, their lifespan is very short compared to ours. You know, and ours is quite long in that way. But then you go up and there's longer and longer. Like tortoises, they live 300-400 years. And then you keep going up. You go to the higher planetary systems, they live longer and longer until you get up to Brahma. But the point is, it's still temporary. So even if by this material consideration, by detachment and knowledge, you become liberated, you're still within that cycle. So it will be temporary. You may not be under the modes right then, but you get out. But you're out with a tether, because you're still connected by, I'm the controller and enjoyer. So the consciousness is still material. You may have situated yourself on the spiritual platform, but your consciousness is material. You know, it's just like, let's say, someone who is not very wealthy. They can sit down in a very expensive car, you know, or go into a very expensive house. They just can't stay. So that's the thing, is the consciousness is such is that if you're not connected with the Lord as a person, because that's the position where, then that is what's going on eternally. Right? The other platforms for... I mean, all platforms of the Lord's existence are transcendental. But the point is there, as a person, he's reciprocating with you. That's a position you can attain. He is Brahman. We are a particle of Brahman. But the point is he is Satchitananda, and his Sat aspect is expanded throughout the creation, the cosmos. That's the Brahman aspect. But he still has the Chitananda also. But if we situate ourselves in Brahman, we're only dealing with the Sat aspect. What about the Sat and Chit aspects within ourselves? They're not addressed. You can't stay there. Or Paramatma. So then the Chit aspect, he expands that aspect to, manage the material and spiritual creations. And so that's there. But he's still complete in himself with all three features. Like that. And so as if we absorb ourselves in Paramatma, then we're going to be appreciating how, you know, he's God and he's controlling everything. But still you're not dealing with Ananda. We are not addressing that. While he's still performing his pastimes as Bhagavan. These are expansions. So when we see him as a person and interact with him as a person in devotion, then we can go to that transcendental platform. Otherwise these other platforms won't quite make it. They're in the right direction. But it doesn't mean you've made it. Just like you're at one end of town trying to get to the other. You're following the road to get there. It's the proper road. But you have to count where you are. You know, while you're coming and you're late and, you know, yeah, and somebody's calling up, hey, where are you now? Okay, we're at the crossroad of this and this. Oh, hey, we just passed this place. But you're there. You're not at the other place. But if that focus is on that final destination, you're counted as someone, as a sadhaka who's going there and going to make it there. But if you're identifying with the place, even though it's farther forward, you're still not going to attain the Lord. Right? You know, if you get out for a selfie, then, yeah, problem. After describing various kinds of sacrifice, Krishna said, all types of sacrifice are meant to culminate in transcendental knowledge. That's what they're meant for. In other words, someone's not doing engaging in transcendental knowledge. But let's say, for transcendental knowledge means you have to sit down. Right, the person's always running around, getting to sit down. Because then when they sit down, they can hear, they could study, you know, they could contemplate like this. And so therefore, let's say the activity of sitting down, and in this context, you see, is pious. So then a sitting man is better than the guy running around just being crazy. But then better than that's going to be the one who's sitting down and, let's say, studying or reading like that. But then what's his motive? Why is he doing that? Right? So it's that devotion to the Lord that's the real principle that we're looking at. So when that's there, then that becomes very strong. Otherwise, then you see all these things, all these positions go. So all these things are just meant to move you forward. That's why it's considered pious that, okay, he sits down, you know, like that. And then while he's sitting, he's not there talking and doing all kinds of nonsense. He's also quite, you know, calm and peaceful and meditative like this. So these are all the different things, religions trying to get you to be engaged in devotional service. And for those who can understand it directly, they immediately then take up devotional service. But for those who don't, they have a mundane perspective. They are then given the chance to at least do parts of it, because in that, while they're sitting there and they're quiet, they might hear someone else talking about a spiritual subject. Otherwise, you could have somebody sitting down in your living room talking about Bhagavad Gita, but if you're just running around and doing all kinds of stupid stuff and going to the, you know, fridge to see what's there to eat and then running off and then going out into the yard, you're not going to hear anything. It's there. But if you sat down, then you might hear. But you might sit down and just get out your phone and start doing that there. Sit down and turn on the TV, you know. But at least it's considered pious, because sitting, he could possibly notice that somebody's sitting there talking. What are they talking about? So that's the whole point. These processes of karma and jnana are religious principles that bring you closer to bhakti. But until you take up bhakti, they don't become bhakti. Does that make sense? You know, it's like this saying, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You know, the horse is brought right in front of the water. You can bring him there, but only if he's interested to drink, he'll drink. So that's the thing, is all these religious principles in the Vedas are given to bring you to the point of hearing about pure devotional service. But that drinking of pure devotional service, that nectar, that has to be done by the individual. They have to accept it. Then there's so much support there. There's guru, sadhu, shastra, there's the whole devotional process. All these things are there. But until you take that interest, you know. But if you're brought next to the water, that's the best chance you have for getting interested in water. Right? So that's the whole process, is all these things, what to bring you close. Like that. All types of sacrifice are meant to culminate in transcendental knowledge, or realizing one's identity as an eternal servitor of the Supreme. This is the mature fruit of all mysticism, and it burns to ashes all of one's accumulated karmic reactions. By working in this knowledge, one is never again affected by the reactions of work. All of your troubles have arisen out of ignorance, Arjuna. Kill them with the weapon of knowledge. Armed with yoga, stand and fight. Right? So this yoga means yoga connecting with the Supreme. Right, since you're supposed to be meditating on the Supreme, then that's the goal that you want to get. So the Ashtanga yoga system, when we say yoga, we generally think of that. That means, okay, I'm going to meditate. That means the mind has to be fixed. The mind to be fixed means it has to be pulled back from all sense objects. To be pulled back from all sense objects means it has to be engaged properly in meditation. To be able to engage in meditation, you have to control the breath. To control the breath, you have to be able to control the sitting posture and long enough to be able to do all this, right? Those yogis would sit there for thousands of years. So if you can't sit in one position, you know, your ankles start to bother, your knee hurts, or your shoulder, then you can't do yoga. That's why then hatha is first. You can't sit down to do that unless you follow the yama niyama, the rules and regulations. So by the physical mechanical process, you can get it to the point where, if you have that determination, then you can start to utilize the subtle platform. But the problem is, in this age, who has that kind of piety? Therefore, then, Lord Chaitanya is given the chanting of the holy name. That process, that can be used now. And by that, you get the purification, you get these things, you're engaged in Krishna's service, so the physical and the life airs, the energy, the mind becomes connected to the Lord. And so being connected to the Lord, then in that way, then you start meditating on the Lord and all this. So it's a much easier, more direct process. By bhakti, then these other aspects of Ashtanga Yoga are already included, but they're in a dynamic, straightforward way. As Krishna went on to explain how to work in devotion, Arjuna began to understand that this was true renunciation. Only by dedicating all of one's work to the pleasure of the Supreme could one be generally detached. Krishna explained that working in such consciousness gradually brought one to the point of always remembering the Supreme, or Samadhi. This type of yoga was no less effective than the practice of asceticism and meditation. Indeed, it was easier, for to give up everything and meditate in a solitary place would be difficult for a worldly man like Arjuna. Right? He's a family person. He has his duties. To Arjuna's relief, Krishna made it clear that this was not necessary. He also assured Arjuna that the path of yoga, once begun, was never lost. Right? When you're dealing on the path of bhakti, then whatever you gain, because it's on the platform of the soul and the soul's relationship with the Lord, it's never lost. Because the soul is eternal, God's eternal. Anything done on that is eternal. When you do things on the physical or mental platform, then these are not the soul, these are the body and subtle body. Therefore, they're temporary. So whatever gains you've made, then, you know, you'll have that karma, as long as you're doing the good karma, it moves forward. But at some point, we see it moves back. That's why it's the cycle of samsara. They don't say the straight line of samsara, right? No one says that. Even if he did not achieve success in this life, in his next life, he'd be able to continue from whatever point he had left off. Right? So whatever gains you've done in devotional service, and that those aren't lost. So even if one doesn't perfect oneself in this body, then the next body, one will take up that position. So let's say you become 50% Krishna conscious. Then in the next life, you'll start at 51 and just continue. And however far you get there, so you can become 100%, go back to Godhead, or however far you got. While if you're doing anything material, you're working very hard at it, putting in your energy and all that, then let's say you get up to 50%. The point is that in the next life, that 50 is lost. You start at zero. It means you've had the mentality and the desire to work in that area. And if you've behaved in such a way to, that's appropriate to that particular work and mentality, the mentality might still be there, but you still have to start from zero on its work. And while you're going, then you might get distracted and this and that. You may continue. You might go off in another direction. Like that, or because it's material, it never really gives satisfaction to the soul, so therefore then, because you think, oh, I am the body, so what I'm doing with the body is me, I'm not getting satisfaction, so that particular activity with my body is what's not satisfactory, therefore you choose a new direction, right? And so that's the difficulty that comes up, is that the soul, by identifying with the body, he thinks that, no, this is me. And because this is me, then, you know, if it's going well, then I'm doing well. And if it's not going well, I'm not doing well. Rather than, no, the material world is not me. Therefore, even though I can do activities according to my duties and all that and get some nice results, but the point is it will never satisfy me as the soul. And it can't satisfy the Lord as the Supreme Soul. It's the devotion and exchange between the soul on the transcendental platform with the Lord who's on the transcendental platform. That loving relationship, that's eternal. So when he understands that, then he while he's here, he does his duties and all that without attachment, with knowledge for Krishna. And so therefore he's always serving Krishna no matter what his position. And at the end of this body, then remembering the Lord, he goes back to the spiritual platform. Yeah, like that. So this is, you know, what Krishna has... Yeah, Krishna has brought Arjuna up to this point. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.